The Word of God is living. It is powerful, infallible, indestructible, incorruptible, and it will work mightily in me.
And now, your host, Pastor Jerry Maya Williams, from the service Already in Progress.
Everybody shout, victory over sickness. Say it again, victory over sickness. Now, if you turn to Exodus chapter 15, this has been our foundation scripture during the last 6-7 weeks that I've been talking about victory over sickness. In Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, here the Lord is going to speak to Israel and give them his first promise with condition. And he says to them, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight and give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases upon you which I have brought on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you. I am the Lord who heals you. What is God saying? I am Jehovah Rapha. Everybody say Jehovah Rapha. Now, very quickly, turn to Exodus chapter 23. Here, Israel is still camped out in the wilderness. In fact, they're camped in the region of Mount Sinai, where God gives them the law. God is instructing his people. And there are some things that we as the people of God need to know. We need to know what pleases God. And here God says to Israel in chapter 23, verse 25, so you shall serve the Lord your God. How many hear that? So you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. No one shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. Now, when God delivered Israel out of the bondage of Egypt, he revealed himself to them as Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals you, the Lord who cures your sickness and diseases, the Lord who repairs the brokenness in your mind and your body, the Lord who makes you whole, spirit, soul, and body. Then he went on to promise that I will not put any of these diseases upon you that I put upon the Egyptians if you diligently heed to the voice of the Lord your God. If you do what's right in his sight, and every one of you have a sense within your own conscience of what's right and wrong, and God says, if you listen to me and do that which is right in my sight, give ear to my commandments. Don't turn a deaf ear to what thus saith the Lord. Give ear to his commandments. And he says, keep all my statutes. Then I will bring none of the diseases upon you that I brought upon the Egyptians. Why? Because I am Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals you. Now here God takes it a step farther. Now they're still in the wilderness, still there at Mount Sinai. So God takes it a step further. He says, so you shall serve the Lord your God. Now, I need you to get this because we read that and we just want to keep going. And sometimes we need to slow down. And as I begin to dig in the Word of God, when God said to Israel, so you shall serve the Lord your God, in the Hebrew text, What that phrase says is, you shall worship and work doing the work of the Lord your God. In other words, to serve the Lord your God is to worship God and to work for God. Don't miss this, nobody. To serve the Lord your God is to worship and to work and to worship. I remember the church of my upbringing as a young boy. I remember hearing the pastor say, we enter into the church to worship, but we leave to serve. How many are serving God? Don't raise your hands. But how many people are really serving God? Many people are serving their own interests, their own agenda, but how many people are serving God? It's not enough just to worship God, and some don't even do that. And we know that we must worship God because God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Are you worshiping the Lord, or are you just a spectator? Are you worshiping the Lord, or are you just a bystander? Come on. Are you worshiping the Lord, or are you just occupying space in the church this morning? But it's not enough to worship God. He says, worship me and work for me. So you shall serve the Lord your God. And God says, if you do that, he says, then I will bless your bread and I will bless your water. Come on. We need to understand that oftentimes many of the sickness and diseases we contract is a result of what we eat and what we drink. Come on. There are pathogens in the food we eat. There are pathogens in the water we drink. And God says, but if you will serve me, I'll bless what you eat. I'll bless what you drink. He said, if you'll serve me, there won't be miscarriages among you. Neither will there be anyone barren among you. He says, if you'll serve me, I will fulfill the days of your life. How many hear what I'm saying? Many people are afraid to die. Many people are preoccupied with not dying young. Or, I don't want to die when I'm old and alone. Even before you were born, God determined the number of days of your life. And God says, if you will serve me, he says, I'll fulfill the number of days for your life. You should not want to live longer than the number of days that God has preordained for your life. Come on. Neither should you want to live less than that time. Now, some people die prematurely. They throw their lives away. But let me tell you something. Whether somebody died young or old, God knew about it before it happened. Because he said, I will fulfill the days of your life. Isn't God good? All God is asking us to do is just serve him. And he says, if you serve me, I'll bless what you eat. I'll bless what you drink. He says, I'll take sickness from the midst of you. There won't be miscarriages. Neither will anyone be barren. He says, for I will fulfill the days of your life. So don't be afraid to die. And if you're afraid to die, it means you've been afraid of living. How many hear what I'm saying? People afraid to die, they're afraid to die because they've never experienced life. Jesus said, I am come to give you life and to give you life more abundantly. I'm not concerned about what the devil will do to me. I'm not concerned about dying before my time because I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to worship God. I'm going to work for God. I'm going to keep his statutes. And he promised to take sickness from the midst of me. Now, even when sickness comes, God says, I didn't bring it. But if it comes, I will take it from the midst of you. Is that right? Now, this is very important, this promise, that I will fulfill the days of your life. Turn to Psalms 90. There's a lot of confusion about what God has promised you in terms of your lifespan. I've heard many people say, well, God promised you 70 years. How many heard that other than me? No. God has determined the number of days of your life. Whether those days be few or many. Come on. And there are some people that have lived to be past 100. Then there's some folk out in the grave that's less than 20. But God knew all about it. He's a faithful God. Here in Psalms 90, if you look at, most of you in your Bibles, if you look at the beginning of that Psalms, it will say that this is a Psalms, a prayer of Moses, a man of God, or it may say the prayer of Moses, the man of God. Everybody see that? Let me show you something, beloved. Let me show you how you rightly divide the word of God. Look at verse 10. Look at verse 10. I need to get there. Are you there? All right, verse 10. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if reason of strength, they are 80 years. Yet their boast, in other words, their pride, is only labor and sorrow. So no matter how old you are, and no matter how good you feel about how old you are, there's still going to be some good days and some bad days. Is that right? For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Then verse 12 teaches us, so teach us to number our days. How do you number your days? You live every day as if this is your last day to live. By the way, yesterday the world was supposed to end. Did you know that? Some false prophet prophesied that the rapture is going to come on the 23rd. Some other false prophets prophesied that the world would end on September 23rd. And what y'all doing here? Huh? You know, the Bible I read says no man will know the day or the hour. Not even the Son of Man. But that's been committed unto the Father. So we live every day as if this is the last day we have. I'm not waiting to give God my all tomorrow. I'm not waiting to say, well, I'm going to start tithing next year. No, I want to honor him now. I want to serve him now. Come on, I want a prayer life with him now. I want to read and understand his word now. So teach me to number my days. Now here you see in verse 10, the psalmist says the days of our lives are 70 years. And 80 by reason of strength. In other words, by reason of your vigor or your constitution. Some people have a stronger biological and physiological constitution than others. Now, I've been saying something ever since I was in college, and I'll say it again today. I believe women are stronger than men. That's why God chose them to have the babies. Hello, somebody. I believe women are biologically stronger than men. Can you imagine a man trying to have a baby and you're in the delivery room going, man up, man up, man up. But the number of our days, the days of our lives are 70 years. And if by reason of strength, by vigor or strong constitution, there are 80 years. Yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we all fly away. Now, let me show you why this is not a Psalms of Moses. If you know anything about Moses, in Deuteronomy chapter 34, God has spoke to Moses and told him to get up to Mount Nebo in the land of Moab. Then he says, when you get there, rise to Mount Pisgah, which was the summit. He says, I'm allow you to look over into the land that I promised the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But you will not enter the land, Moses, because you failed to sanctify me before the congregation at Meribath Kadesh there in the wilderness. Remember when Moses struck the rock twice out of anger? That was disobedient to God. God told him to speak to the rock. And when God wanted to consume the stiff-necked, unbelieving people of Israel, Moses stood between God and the congregation. But God had so much respect for Moses that God relented. But now he's telling Moses, because you did that, you failed to sanctify me before the congregation. You've taken my people as far as they can go. Now I'm going to let you take a look at what I've been promising you. But you're not going to enter into it. Now the Bible says when Moses went up to Mount Nebo, and there in the mount, on Mount Pisgah, there Moses died. And when Moses died, he was 120 years old. Don't miss this. Not only was Moses 120 years old, the Bible says neither was his eyes dim. He had no weakness of vision, no cataracts, nor was his natural force abated. In other words, Moses was just as strong at 120 when he was when God called him. God says, I will fulfill the days of your life, the number of days of your life. And he did that for Moses. And Moses' days were 120. And if Moses lived to be 120, then how could he have written Psalms 90? When the psalmist says that the years of our lives are what? 70 years and 80 by reason of strength. The psalmist is saying you will live to see, to be 70 to 80 years old. Moses surpassed that by 60 years. I want you to get this. Some of you think you're too old for this. You too old for that. Huh? How old is whole? And some of you hear what I'm saying, because some of you old folks looking for somebody. Don't think I don't know that. You're looking for somebody. Talking about you want a companion, somebody to talk to. Huh? No, God's keeping you. And you know God's keeping you alive. And I'm telling you that even Moses at 120, neither was his natural force abated. His energy, his vigor, it was the same as it was when he was a young man. Now, here we need to look at something. Man's life has increasingly been shortened ever since Adam fell in the garden. Ever since Adam and Eve sinned against God. Now, Adam lived and he died after 930 years. Then one of his great-great-great-great-great-grandfathers, Methuselah, he lived to see 969 years. Now we come to David, but we come to Moses. Moses lived to see 120 years. King David lived and he saw 70 years. Then we fast forward to the New Testament, the greatest of all the apostles. Well, even before him, let's talk about Jesus. Jesus lived on this earth for 33 years, on this earth. Then the greatest of all the apostles, the most powerful, the most anointed of all the apostles, only lived to see 66 years. I'm talking about Apostle Paul. This man only lived 66 years, and he did more for God in his lifetime than most of us will ever do in two lifetimes. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. But he only lived 66 years. Even when he was in prison, in chains, in a Roman jail, it never stopped him from serving the Lord his God. It never stopped him from worshiping and working for God. And this is the promise. If you want sickness taken from the midst of you, God says, listen to me. Live right before me. Give ear to my commandments. Keep my statutes. Then I won't bring any of the diseases upon you that I brought upon the Egyptians. And if the diseases come, I want you to know that I didn't bring them because I am the one who's going to take them off of you. I am Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals you. And if you'll serve me, I'll bless what you eat. I'll bless what you drink. I will take sickness from the midst of you. He says there won't be any miscarriages. Neither will there be barrenness in your land. For I will fulfill the days of your life. Never be afraid to live. No more than you were afraid to be born. You came here on time. And honey, you will leave here on time. I'm talking about God's time. Unless you just throw your life away. And why would I want to live one day longer than what the will of God is for me? Is that right? So Jehovah Rapha. Everybody shout Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rapha is the Lord our God who heals us. He gives us victory over sickness. Now, he didn't say sickness wouldn't come, but he said, if it came, I will take it from the midst of you. Is that right? Now, I want to close with this question. Is it always the will of God to manifest healing? Now, how many of people that have had a condition or they've been struggling with a sickness or disease and they've received prayer perhaps, they've been in the prayer line and they've done everything they know to do. They've been treated with medication, so forth and so on, but they still have that condition. So the question is it always God's will to manifest healing? Is it always his will? Let's see what the word of God says. In John chapter 9, verse 1, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man born blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents? And Jesus replied, Neither, but that this man is blind, that the works of God may be made manifest. I keep telling you, God's got a master plan for all of us. And see, he said this man was born blind for God's purpose, so that God could show forth his glory. And Jesus opened the eyes of that blind man, and God the Father received the glory. Is it always God's will, though, for things to happen like that? Is it always God's will? I want you to look at 2 Timothy. We're going to get in the weeds a little bit. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And perhaps I'll share some things with you today you've never heard before. But they're all in your Bible. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, let's just pick it up at verse 19. And let's talk about Trophimus. Trophimus was a disciple who had accompanied Paul on his third missionary journey. And Paul is in a Roman jail right as he wrote 2 Timothy. And he's about to close his letter. And in verse 19, he's saying, okay, I've said what I got to say. Now, greet Priscilla and Aquila, the household of Onesiphorus and Erastus. He says Erastus stayed in Corinth. Why is he telling them that? Erastus stayed in Corinth. Who was Erastus? Well, if you look at Romans chapter 16, Erastus was the treasurer of the city of Corinth. And Paul's just chatting with people he have a relationship with. He's writing to the church at Ephesus. By the way, Timothy pastored the church at Ephesus. So Paul is speaking about those Ephesians that they want to have information about. He said, well, you know, Erastus, he stayed in Corinth. Even though he went with me on my last missionary journey, he went back home to Corinth. He was the chamberlain or the city's treasurer. Now he's going to talk about Trophimus. Trophimus was an Ephesian citizen. And if you're writing a church to the church, if you're writing a letter to the church at Ephesus, doesn't it stand to reason that the Ephesians want to know what's going on with brother Trophimus? What's going on with that brother? So Paul says, but I left Trophimus I have left at Miletus sick. I want that to sink in for a second. Trophimus, I left at Miletus sick. I left him sick. Now, do you suppose that Paul hadn't prayed to God for that man's healing? Do you suppose that Paul perhaps hadn't even laid hands on that man for healing? Do you suppose that Paul never ministered to Trophimus? Yet Paul, the greatest of all the apostles, said, I left him sick. So is it always God's will to manifest healing? I'm going to answer that before I take my seat. But here's what you need to see in the 20th verse of 2 Timothy chapter 4. Contrary to what ministers have bewildered you with and the lies they've told you, you cannot turn on the gifts of healing and the workings of miracles like a light switch. It didn't work for Paul. I know it don't work for me. Paul says, I left him sick.
Join us Sunday at Agape Word Fellowship, where Dr. Jerry Maya Williams is your pastor, proclaiming a life-changing message of the agape love and power that God is. For more information, log on now at www.agapeword.net, 1430 South New Hope Road, Agape Word Fellowship.
I'm Jackie Diaz, inviting you to worship with us on Sundays at 10 a.m. Hear a life-changing message of God's unconditional love and acceptance that will strengthen and bless you. Agape Word Fellowship is located at 1430 South New Hope Road in Raleigh. Children and youth ministries are available. Casual dress is always welcome. Agape Word Fellowship is the home of word power. Hola, soy Jackie Diaz, invitándolos a adorar a nuestro Señor los domingos a las 10 de la mañana. Escucha un mensaje de amor incondicional y aceptación y bendición y fortaleza. Los ministerios de niños y jóvenes están disponibles. Vestido casual es bienvenido. Agape Word Fellowship es la casa del poder de la palabra.